Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I am your host, Henderson Man, and with me is Corey.
Hey.
Eventually, eventually Corey will show up.
I'm here.
Also, 10 minutes late, but hey, who's counting? It's not like I had to go to work or anything. And Mark will be joining us as soon as he's doing whatever he's doing. So, yeah, so we're going to talk about stuff. So,
are we?
Maybe. I guess the biggest news that I've heard this week is IO Interactive is going to be sold off from Square Enix, basically. I guess Hitman, whatever the last one was called. Was it just Hitman? I don't remember. The episodic Hitman game.
Yeah, I don't think there was a subtitle to that.
I guess it didn't meet their expectations, which is weird because Square is a weird company when it comes to their expectations. I mean, we remember
I think what I heard is that with them starting development on season two.
Yeah, they're like $45 million in the hole already.
Yeah, they wouldn't make their money back, so they're just going to sell it off.
Yeah, I don't know. But the weird thing is there's a couple of scenarios that people have talked about that, A, IO Interactive could keep the Hitman license, but that would cause that would cost people more money. Or IO Interactive itself could be sold off, but Square Enix could continue to have the Hitman name and be able to make Hitman games. So I don't know how I'd feel about that scenario. That's pretty much the biggest news to come out of this. It's sad because even though I bought that game and haven't played it much of it because I'm not very good at it, it definitely is a well-polished game and looks like a lot of work went into it, and it's more fun for me to watch people play it than actually play it myself. So, but
I liked it quite a bit, and it had a format with that episodic thing that was really interesting. The problem that I had with it was that I didn't get it until after the year was over, so I didn't ever get to try any of the elusive targets.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear those are pretty great.
Wait,
so
yeah. So you actually went back and played some of it? Because I didn't realize you had actually played any of it.
Yeah, I played the first three or four missions.
Oh, wow.
Whatever they were.
I
really liked it.
Well, there's still elusive targets going on now.
Are there? I thought that was only the
No, it's
thing.
Been going on forever. It's been going on for, like, weeks. Like, I think it goes on, it went on for the entire year. Seems like every week or two they would release another one. Maybe it was every month. I don't know. But yeah. Because I know I was watching the Giant Bomb Unprofessional Friday, and they were doing the newest one. I think there's two more left. So. Yeah. So. Anywho's. So yeah, that's sad news. I don't know. Why Square Enix is weird with their rights though to or their things. I don't know. I can't believe that some of their games even sell that well, and they still put out Final Fantasy shit like Worlds of Final Fantasy. That couldn't have done too well. I mean, over in Japan, I guess it probably does, but just a weird situation. But we will see what will happen. I guess IO actually put out something saying that they were going to go ahead with season two. I don't know how they're doing that or what the case is with that, but they did say that they were working on season two still, I guess until they're told not to work on season two anymore. So, yeah. So, anyway, I know me and you have been playing some Prey, which is the new game by the same studio that made Dishonored, Arcane, published by Bethesda Studios. And, I feel weird about this game because there are moments that I'm absolutely in love with it, and then I will get frustrated by something and put it down for a while, and then I'll just get the Jones to play it again. How are you feeling about it, Corey?
That's pretty much the exact description I have, too. Like, I love parts of it. And then I'll get, like, I'm currently at a point where I just have no idea what to do, and I'm just frustrated with it because there's an enemy that I just can't get past. And so I've set it down, but I want to go back and play it.
Yeah.
So it's really weird.
Yeah, I got to the guts area. I mean, you talked about that, and then I just went back and started backtracking because I noticed I was picking up all these side quests, and I'm like, you know, maybe I should go, because that game does a really good job of pushing you forward, like telling, mm-hmm. like at least where I'm at, where it's like, hey, go here and do this, and I kind of got caught up in the actual story part, and I was like, oh, I've got all these side quests, I kind of want to go back and do those. But yeah. You're right. There are some enemies in that game that are just way too tough. Way too tough. I kept running those telepath enemies. Those things are dicks.
There's an enemy that you have to beat within a certain time or hide from it. Have you ran into those?
No, I've not.
Oh, those are terrible.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
You just made my stomach sour a little bit. Have you ever found any weapons besides the shotgun, the pistol, and the disruptor pistol? Have you found the Q-beam or anything like that yet?
Yeah, I've got the beam thing.
There doesn't seem like there's very many weapons in this game.
No, but all the enemies say that a good chunk of them say they're weak to explosives.
Yeah, and I've never found any real explosives.
Not even the grenades, because it's like an EMP grenade.
I think the recycler grenade...
Is that considered an explosive?
I think so, because the telepath enemies, if you can hit them with one of those, it takes their health down quite a bit. So, and after you kill somebody, if you kill one with a recycler, it does recycle them into a bunch of pieces that you got to collect all over the floor. So,
nice.
I figured that's the one way I did a good job of killing those enemies. So I guess Mark is ready. I thought he would just join the call, but I guess Nert. Let me figure out how to add somebody to this call. Add people to this call.
It's not like you don't do this every week now.
Yeah. So, you know, there's certain enemies that you run into in the game that are just seem really tough, but I keep wanting to play the game, and it's one of the first games that I've ever played where the story keeps you guessing about what the hell's going on, and like, I mean, literally, it's the first game I've ever played where I don't even know if I trust myself.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, and it's just like, I'm like, that's a really cool thing, because I'm like, do I trust this person? Do I trust this person? You know, it's like, who's telling me the truth? And they play that off so well. It's amazing they can kind of pull that off. And how many hours have you put into it, Corey?
I've put about 8 hours into it, but I'm probably not as far as I should be for putting that many hours into it, because I restart a lot and I'll go back, mm-hmm. and because if I get in a fight and I use like 100 bullets, I'm like, I could probably do that better, and I reload. So I don't know my actual hour count.
According to that thing, you know, when you save, I'm at almost 12 hours, and I'm just now getting to that area we talked about, the guts area.
Oh, and I would say that's probably more accurate, because I've loaded a lot of and lost a lot of time.
Yeah, so
and I don't know if it counts that.
Yeah, I do. I do like the fact that I did find the fabrication plans for certain items, like the bullets and and shotgun shells, and then I even found like fabrication plans for weapon upgrade kits and neuromods. So that's
You've got a fabrication for neuromods?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Where did you find that at?
I don't remember, but I found two different. I found that plan twice. So
that sucks.
I know where you find it. The first time, it's in a locked door in that very first lobby area that you're in, like when the game really starts. And it's up on the top, it's up on that second floor, on the left, and it's that door's locked, so you gotta figure out either you can hack into that door or you gotta find a key card, because that's actually part of a side quest to go in there because something happens. Do what?
I think I know what you're talking about, and I went in there, but I didn't see any.
No, you wouldn't have been able to get in there originally. There would have been no way. Unless you backtracked.
I have.
Okay, I think you have to hack their computer, mm-hmm. and it's one of the items in the in the files that you can hack, or maybe it was right on the desk. I don't know, but it's part of a side quest to even because I don't want to spoil it. So, But it's just trust me, it's part of a side quest, and that's where I found the second one at. So, yeah. I found an EMP fabrication. I like the fabrication and the recycling stuff. It's really neat. It's real annoying when you find one and not the other together.
Oh, see, I've got so much stuff, materials. Like, I've got over 100 of the metal and like 80 of one. I don't actually make that much stuff out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I just pretty much make ammo.
That could help you out a lot. I mean, I guess if you don't have the neuromod thing, I made so many neuromods.
Yeah, that would be so much easier because I've only found maybe 30 of them so far, yeah. Which is a lot, I guess.
Yeah,
but
it's not really because those powers take. I mean, it's crazy that you got powers like leverage, and it takes how many? 8, 4, and 2, so 14 different ones to max out leverage, so you can move a fucking couch.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff's a little stupid. I think they could have really tightened that down a bit.
And the fact, okay, so you can upgrade your weapons,
right?
But in order to upgrade your weapons, you have to find weapon modifications, which those are tough to find.
They're not that hard. I find quite a bit of them.
You must be going to different places than I am, because I can't freaking find any good items.
Dude, I went back to areas that I've already explored and found doorways that I could get into, because I raised my hacking up to level 2. And so a lot of these doors, if you look at them, like safes and stuff, they actually, at the bottom right-hand corner of the keypad, there's a little hacking button. And if you hit that button, you go into a hacking minigame.
Yeah, I've gotten that.
I'm
hacking level 2.
So I didn't realize that, so I went back and went through a bunch of areas just to like try to find stuff I could hack. Or if there was rooms that the power was out, I would go back and try to find the power outlet, because there had to be one somewhere around.
Oh, like in the crew chambers or whatever?
I don't know if I've actually been to the crew chambers yet.
Or the volunteer chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I figured it out. Then we found out why it was off.
Oh, yeah, that thing. Oh, man.
There's some brilliance to this game that's also just coupled with some frustration, because it's not an easy game. It's pretty difficult.
I'm playing on the default setting. I think it's just normal.
Yeah.
And I can barely kill some of these enemies.
Yeah, I've maxed out my shotgun, and I can't do much damage to a lot of these enemies. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And especially if I'm out floating in space, that's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, you're useless.
And then the game does the thing that pisses me off about Dishonored, too. It's like, hey, here's all these cool powers, but you probably shouldn't use those because bad things will happen kind of deal.
Is that actually true or not? Because I haven't seen anything that indicated it.
Well, January tells you about it. And especially the first time you try to buy one of the Mimic powers. She goes, I haven't
used any of them yet.
Oh, dude, how the hell are you? No wonder you ain't found anything. You need the coffee cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude, that's how you get through certain doorways and stuff. Like, if you got those little ledges, and it's like, I guess you could find another way around, but I just turn into a coffee cup or something and just roll through the through the gates on in those little counters where they have the holes in the counter where you would talk to somebody. You just roll right on through those or something and unmorph yourself.
I've always been lucky enough to find a key card or something to get through it.
I mean, there you can hack doors and stuff like that, but I don't know. I found that to be more fun. So I am going down the Mimic path a little bit. I haven't done it. I guess eventually, like, the turrets and stuff around the space station will shoot you if you have too many Mimic powers. So I haven't got to that stage yet. But I did increase my hacking, so I could hack those if that was the case. However, it is really annoying because there are certain enemies that can hack those turrets as well that will just turn everything against you in an area,
yep.
And that pisses me off. I'm like, I'll see one of them fucking things. I'm like, you son of a bitch. <It's> like,
I made the mistake once of setting one, like I was at a window, and it was shooting the enemy at the window. And I was like, well, it could shoot it better if I moved the turret closer to the window. So I picked it up and moved it. And then it grabbed the turret and it started shooting at me. I'm like, dang it.
I think I know exactly where you're at when that happened. But yeah, that game's got so many cool ideas, and I just wish it played as well as that game is interesting. And maybe just a tad less than the difficulty. I mean, I guess you could play it on easy, but I don't like to play games on easy. But there's a lot of, that game feels like Dead Space meets BioShock, honestly.
Yeah, I might actually bump down the difficulty level just because it's, the amount of time that I'm putting into each encounter is ridiculous.
Right. And you know, it does have all the things where you can look at an enemy and get an idea what their weaknesses are and stuff like that. So that stuff's really, really helpful. But like you said, sometimes you're like, oh, I don't know why. Oh, I guess also the other explosive thing could be blowing up like gas canisters and stuff like that.
That's true.
So I did have a glitch where I went in this one room and there were two of those phantom things walking around, and there's a bunch of gas and stuff canisters around and some fire on the floor, and twice at the same place I shot a canister and it exploded the room and the game locked up. It wouldn't do anything, and it happened to me twice in a row. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do that. So there are a few glitches. But yeah, it's a good game, but it's just missing something. I don't know if it's the enemies are just so fast that they're hard to hit sometimes. Even like the little mimics are like, them little sons of bitches when I'm trying to shoot them with the pistol. I'm like, would you stop moving for 5 seconds so I can shoot you? So.
Yep.
So anyway, you got anything else you wanted to say about Prey?
It's definitely worth checking out because there's so much about it that's unique. And just expansive that I haven't seen in a lot of other shooters like this. So it's got a lot going on, which makes it worth checking out, but maybe play it on easy.
Yeah, that might be the biggest caveat, is to try to take it out on easy especially if you're not very good at video games, like Corey is apparently.
No. Hey.
I haven't got there yet, so I don't know. I may just say, fuck it.
Yeah, there's that one enemy, oh my goodness. I just to test it out, I used that laser thing. I don't even know what it's called.
Q beam. I know that's the ammo for it. It's a Q beam.
Okay, so I went onto it and used that, and it took 4 entire cartridges to make it explode.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna let. I don't think Mark's talking yet. I don't know if he's even listening, so I probably should tell him that. We're done talking about Prey. So. Alright. So, moving on. Did you play Little Nightmares?
I maybe put an hour and a half into it.
Alright. I put in about 45 minutes and got tired of it. And not to say that the game is bad, I just don't like the way.
Before you guys keep talking, I just like to say that I am here, people listening.
Yeah.
I was having fun for the little bit when you were talking about Prey, just my mic muted and then just making weird voices and just talking to you guys without you actually hearing me. That was a blast for me.
Okay.
Just thought you'd like to know.
Oh, man, I want to know what you said now.
There's a lot of racist stuff.
Oh.
I was just doing a lot.
Wow.
I did Indian accents and other accents. I did the most racist Asian accent ever.
Wow.
But I'm glad we didn't stuff. Hear that
then. Yeah. There's no way I would do that. Put it up on the internet. Did you already cover the news?
Yeah, we did. Did you want to say something about it too?
No, it just sucks, and I would like to see it happen, though. And I talked with Lunchbox a bit on this on Twitter. He's still open to it. I'm very skeptical that I just don't believe or have any confidence in Microsoft at all, but I'd love to see Microsoft pick them up. And it would make sense with their talking about episodic things for their streaming thing or whatever, to include that as part of it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Their Xbox, that whatever program.
Beam?
Not Beam, the subscription service.
Rental service.
Yeah.
Rental, but.
And they're talking about wanting to do or have episodic things included in that.
Ah.
That would be perfect. Hitman would.
Game Pass? Is that what it's called?
something or other.
Yeah. Huh. Well, yeah, because that's a really cool idea. However, I mean, I own most of those games already outright, so it's kind of weird. So.
And they need exclusives. Right. Microsoft needs to get games, even though what they need, it really, if they care like about getting close to Sony, is games that people in Japan and Europe want to play.
Well, you know, he went over to, can't think of his name now, he went over to...
Phil Spencer?
Yeah, Phil Spencer went over to Japan, and he said, Japanese games are coming. So, whatever that means.
Hopefully.
You know,
they'll be coming for the people in America, because I don't think there's any chance of the Xbox One being resurrected in Japan.
No. But, so, anyway, Corey, go ahead and talk a little bit about Little Nightmares, and then I'll interject with what I thought about it.
It looks kind of like Limbo. The difference between it and like Limbo or what was the other one they did?
Inside.
Is it's got like it's a 2.5D game, I guess, because you have the left and right motion, but there's a slight forward and back motion as well. So it adds a little bit of depth to the puzzles.
Although, that is my big problem with the game.
Yeah, yeah. And when you said that at first, when I started playing, I was like, I don't mind that too much. But then once you get to the more complicated puzzles, you kind of have to be like spot on depth wise.
Yeah, that to hear that as well.
And it makes it very difficult.
I was even having trouble like making jumps across gaps because for some reason, I figured, oh well, I'm down here at the bottom of the screen. I'll just jump over on this thing because it's at the bottom of the screen too. And when I would jump, I would somehow miss it. And I would like, really? And then the load times are just bad enough, coupled with the fact that the save points are just too far back at some occasions, sometimes. Like, there was this one section where you had to walk to this room and all those little squid, or all those little wormy things are all on the ground early on. And it's dark, mm-hmm. and you got to avoid all them things. And I was like, okay, I got good at getting past all them things, because I got past it the first time, but then, like, for some reason, I died, like, three times in a row in that fucking room, and I was like, and then I would get up to that room again, past that, and I'd jump on that platform, or I tried to walk across the beam, and I'd fall off accidentally. I was like, this shit is so pixel perfect that it's pissing me off sometimes. Like, I just felt like I was dying for stupid-ass reasons, and I was like, nope, I'm done. That's the $20 I wasted. I mean, if they fix some of that
stuff.
What
system is it on?
It's on Xbox One and PS4.
Yeah. And you bought it for Xbox One?
I'm sorry, what?
You bought it for Xbox One?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How long did you play?
About 45 minutes.
Can't you test out the refund thing? That's part of the preview
program.
Well,
I'm not going to do that because Corey's playing it too.
So, oh, I wouldn't be upset if you did it.
Well, I mean, I don't know how that all works either. So, you know, you've played
it. That's why you give it a test. Yeah. You try it out. You're not going to lose any more money.
Yeah. I mean, like, if they patch it, I'll probably play it again. I think it's...
Whatever. I mean, you just said you wasted $20 down the drain or whatever. And now you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe they'll fix it later. No, I don't want to. No, it's too much work.
It is too much
Corey's
work.
Playing it.
I don't want to use one of my refund policies up on something that's $20. I would rather use it on something that's eventually $60 or something, you know.
Sure.
I don't know how many times they'll allow you to refund something
as much as you want.
Annoyed. Yeah.
I wonder if, like, because we do the game share, does it count each?
I bet it does.
So yeah, I've done about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
or so.
I think it's like 4 hours.
I thought it was two. I thought it was kind of like Steam.
That's like with Steam, but I think they have a greater cushion.
Mm. Well, hell, 4 hours, you could probably beat Little Nightmares. Anywho, I did pick up Dragon Quest Heroes 2 on the PlayStation. Again, another game that I wish would come to Xbox, but I have to get it on PlayStation. And I really am enjoying this game. I liked it a lot more than I did the first one, mainly because I feel like they added way more to this game than the first one had, because the first one was just basically Dynasty Warriors-esque game, but with Dragon Quest characters and stuff like that, which I'm not familiar with a lot of Dragon Quest. It's really weird. It's like Dragon Quest, I guess it's maybe the whole American thing. It never got the attention here in America like it did in Japan. But Final Fantasy kind of became the love child over here as opposed to Dragon Quest. So it's just it's a really weird situation where I kind of wish I had paid more attention to the Dragon Quest games back then, because I remember Dragon Quest IV being the first one that I really played. I played Dragon Quest I because a buddy of mine had it because he was a Nintendo Power subscriber, so they gave that game away for free at one point. So I was able to play that game, and I played a ton of it, but it was just really, there was nothing to that game. There was no big epic story. It was literally, go save the princess was like the big thing that you tried to explore the world to find, and then once you did that, you had to carry her back to the castle, and then you had to go out and kill the big dragon, and that was pretty much the only quest in that game. I think there was one town. It was just a weird game. I was like, if I had something else to play, I wouldn't be playing this. And then I played Final Fantasy, and I was like, this is how these games are supposed to be. So, yeah, but, you know, I remember playing Dragon Quest IV later on and thinking, wow, this seems really epic. I would like to have this game, but never could find a copy of it. I had rented it and never was able to buy a copy. And then years later, I bought the 3DS copy, and I'm like, yeah, this gameplay doesn't age very well. But anyway, to get back to Dragon Quest Heroes... they made it an open world type of game, so it's still like Dynasty Warriors, but you'll be walking across fields and stuff like that, trying to get between towns. They kind of put it a little bit of an interesting story, and in between, like, the going to areas, it actually does the thing where it's like, okay, we're gonna go to war now, so protect this unit, take these spots on a map, and things like that. It's got side quests, which I haven't actually opened yet. There's just a lot going on in this game. And the heroes that they introduced, that you can make a party of four, which is pretty cool. But they introduce a lot of heroes from other Dragon Quest games. And what I think makes this one pretty cool is because the heroes they actually introduced, I actually remember, because literally they come from Dragon Quest IV, Dragon Quest VII, and Dragon Quest IX. Was that the last one? Yeah, 9 was the last one here in the States. Or 8. 8 was 8. Dragon Quest 8. The one that was on PS2. So, yeah. So that's pretty cool. And then I played Nier Automata. And I finished it. But after you finish it, it unlocks a new character. And you play that story again. And I was thinking, man, I don't know if I really want to go through that again. I mean, it was an alright game. It was a pretty fun game, but I don't know if I want to go through the same storyline again. And then I started it up, and I was kind of hooked again. Because they added a new gameplay element where it's like hacking the robots. And so you can actually hack them, and they'll make them explode, or some of them will join you and fight with you. But then, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The story starts getting even more weird. And different enemies start appearing on the maps. Like, you're like, well, that wasn't there before. That doesn't make any sense. Like, there's all these animals that are running around. But, like, I eventually found a robot that looked like it tried to put itself together like a moose. Like, it was literally had four legs, and you could ride it. It looked like you could ride it, but you couldn't. But it was really weird. And I was just like, what is going on? And then you started getting more and more story bits about the robots, and I'm like, what is going, I mean, it literally is like, what the fuck? It's like a what the fuck moment in this game every time I turn around. So now I'm kind of invested in trying to get the 5 endings, so here and there. But yeah, both those games are really good. Nier is just odd. It's just odd all the way around. And
I need to play it. I played the demo and I really liked it, and I've played the game up to where the demo ends.
Yeah,
I need to finish it, play it, whatever.
Yeah. So it took me about 20 hours to finish. I think it was 17 hours to finish it the first time. And like the second playthrough, you're a higher level, but the enemies do level up a bit. But I'm having way easier time the second time through. I think I'm maybe like 6 hours into it, and I'm getting really close to... I feel like I'm getting really close to the end again. For the most part, so
I've heard the second playthrough is different enough to make you appreciate it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got to say. All right, Corey, have you played anything different?
I don't think I have. I played a little bit more Clicker Heroes, but other than that, I don't think I've played anything.
Mark, you played any more?
Catch up to Mark.
Mark, you played any more Clicker Heroes?
No.
All right. Good. That's the way it should be. Anyway, Mark, what have you been playing, buddy?
I played Butcher, which is, it came out on PC, I think, six-ish months ago, and it's basically a 2D Doom-like. It's very inspired by Doom and those type of old-school shooters, very bloody. You get like a new weapon every single area, so you start off with a shotgun, then you get an assault rifle, then flamethrower, grenade launcher, and that's all I've gotten so far. You also have a chainsaw. And when I say 2D, it's pretty pulled back, like Terraria or stuff like that. So your sprite is about the size of a penny on the screen. And it's really fun. It's a really solid game, in part because it has a fairly strong lock-on feature. So the fact that you're moving around quickly and some of these enemies can just like almost teleport to you, you need that. And it can be very difficult depending on the level you play, just like Doom and stuff like that. And the level design is pretty good. And the fact that it is so far zoomed out, it gives you the ability to kind of map out what you want to do and stuff like that.
Can you zoom in at all?
No, not that I've seen.
So I'll never play this game.
The controls are annoying because I think the pulled back camera is fine. I don't.
Well,
I don't
you're not also going blind, so.
Oh yeah, that's true. Well, not yet, at least. But one of my problems with the game is that while the controls feel good for the most part, A is used as a basically to flip switches, and that's all you really use it for. And then to jump, you can either use the left trigger, or you can change it to, because you go down like platforms by just pressing down on the left analog stick, but you can switch it out from being the left trigger to pressing up to jump, but you can't change it to anything else. Like, I would like to just have the left trigger or something else be the switch and just let me jump with A, because that's, you know, kind of the standard, and it feels comfortable. And jumping around, because you jump a lot in this game because it's 2D and there's just a lot of platforms, and you know, there are a lot of tall areas and stuff like that.
Does crisscross game?
Left trigger. What the fuck are you saying?
Crisscross, you know, gonna make you jump. Jump. Never mind.
Shut up. Oh, God.
I think we need to end the show now.
But the biggest problem with Butcher is that at first I thought maybe it was just an isolated incident, but I've run into three game crashes where it completely just crashes to the home screen, and I lost all the progress of the level I was on.
Oh, okay.
And the first time I was like, whatever. And then the second time I was like, I don't know if I want to go back to this. And then I played through that level again, and it crashed again on that same level. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. No more. Because I'm playing it on casual because I just wanted a simple, easy, fun little time. I didn't want to get too... I didn't want to be too challenged for the first go through. And to me, if I was playing this on a harder difficulty, and you know, some of these levels you could die a lot, and you know, finishing them and feeling that sense of accomplishment and just relief of not having to play that level again to only have it crash and lose all that progress, that would infuriate me.
Yeah.
So like there's no way I can recommend the game in its current state until they fix that. So but when it is fixed, if it is, hopefully it is, it's $10. There seem to be like five or maybe six areas of four levels each. And I think because there's an area I can get to that doesn't have anything open right now, that there might be some kind of additional mode post completion. But for $10, it's a solid game as long as they fix the crashes, which just completely ruin it. Good music too. Good visuals, runs well, just crashes in the worst way possible, that you lose all the progress of a level.
And how long does it usually take to get through a level?
Well, since I plan on the easier thing, you know, it could range from 3 to maybe 10 minutes the max. So if you're playing on a harder difficulty, especially those longer levels, it could be a real bitch.
Yeah.
And I also played Tumbleseed, which Corey decided to add. And then I was like,
I want to hear about it.
Well, then listen to my other podcast where I reviewed it. Because I haven't played it in like a week. It's a roguelike. You're pushing a seed up an area. I really like it. It's really, but really difficult. I don't know. It's really, really difficult.
Well, I didn't really like
it. Right from the beginning. There's not like a learning curve. It'll kill you. Like, you'll get up 10 meters and you'll just die.
So I'm assuming that's not very far.
No.
There is a giant bomb quick look too, Corey.
That requires me to get on the internet.
It's very roguelike.
$15 isn't too much, and I generally like roguelikes. So
I love it, but I've listened to other people on podcasts who just complain about the difficulty and how brutal it is, which I don't have a problem with because I was expecting that.
Is there an end? Like, can you beat it?
You can reach the top of the mountain.
And that's a winning state?
Essentially, yeah. I haven't gotten there. I haven't touched my Switch in like a week plus.
Does it give you anything if you reset? Like, do you keep any stats or is it a complete reset?
I mean, it's just leaderboards and they have daily challenges. Anything like any kind of upgrades you get during a playthrough are completely gone. So it's like Spelunky in that sense. Except, unlike Spelunky, I can get to the second area all the time and close to the third area. But in the second area, there's some enemies that I hate and I love at the same time. Because some of the enemies that are the worst, because a lot of it is just getting through this maze where there are a lot of holes that you want to avoid and then enemies that you want to avoid. But some enemies can follow you, can chase after you, but not quickly. It's just sort of like, if you've seen the movie It Follows, it's basically like having something that is just, slowly walking towards you, always. And even if you go up the screen and you can't see them anymore and you just, like, take a break, they're still coming after you. So you can't just, like, sit there and relax and, like, try to, like, strategize, which can be really, really tense. And I like that. But
So you can stop the little platform from going up?
Yeah, you just even it out.
I thought it was constantly moving.
It would be nice if there was a button or like a feature, like if you just press the two triggers or something that would automatically even it out, but you just have to keep, because you're moving this platform with the two analog sticks, and it'd be nice if there's just an easy way to even it out, but you just have to manually do it. And it's pretty, like the slightest movement will adjust the platform, so.
Yeah, they talked about that on the giant bomb thing. They said it's very touchy.
Yeah, but I think it feels really good. It looks great. Good music. I love the challenge. I love that they have the daily challenges.
Do you think that you'll be able to beat it?
Eventually, if I ever go back to my Switch. I've been in kind of, I don't know, I've only been playing really Gems of War, and then I've just been playing that when like I eat, and then I've just been working a lot and then doing some home renovations and catching up on anime and stuff, so I haven't been playing much. And Persona 5 just kind of ruined me.
I did finish that.
Yeah. Whoop-de-doo. Who cares? Now, at least you don't have to play it anymore. It's the positive in that.
90-some hours I finished it.
90-some hours you wasted.
No, I liked most of it. There was two sections that annoyed the shit out of me, but I thought it was a good game. It's definitely my favorite Persona game because it's the only one I finished.
Definitely the one I hate most. Well, it's the only one I hate. But yeah, that's all I've really played.
Did you go get to see?
Hear about Gems of War.
Did you go see Guardians of the Galaxy?
Nope.
Aw. Better not talk about that then. Did you like it, Corey?
I loved it.
Okay.
I thought it was fantastic.
I did too. I laughed all the way through it. Like,
yeah, it was pretty great.
I love it when I have a movie that I watch and I'm just like the entire thing, I'm just like excited to watch it. I don't get disappointed or there aren't any scenes in that movie where I feel like, I could have done without that scene. Like 90% of that damn stupid ass second Batman movie that everybody loved.
Wait. Oh, you mean Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like
that fucking movie. I fell asleep in that movie about four times. I just like there's so much shit going on that was not important to the plot. In my opinion, I was bored to tears. Kind of like Rogue One. I was also bored to tears by that. So
yeah, that's
why come is bored at me, to tears bro. A saying?
I don't know. Because you're so bored, you're crying. Because you're a kid?
Why would you be crying when you're bored?
Look, when you're a kid, you cry when you're bored, right? So,
no.
Some people
do. Who cries when they're bored as a kid?
I don't want to do... I'm bored. Help me find something
that's,
to do.
You're not, that's not crying because you're bored. That's crying because you're having a little tantrum. Because you're a little bitch who needs to be punished. Lock you in the closet. In a box. Bricks on top of it. So you can't get out.
This show has gone downhill today. all right.
And then beat the pet on the outside so you just hear it screaming.
What? Oh.
And then light the house on fire. With
okay.
You still in it.
Wow. That's got dark.
You got a voicemail.
Do we have any way to listen to it?
No, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say word for word what Google Voice
oh, God.
Decided to give us.
I love these.
So here it goes. It did a respectable job.
Okay.
Hey, guys. This is Nick Steven, longtime listener, first-time caller. And I just wanted to call and say, I guess, hey, what's up? I think we're double-booked a voicemail a long time, so I'll be the one to do it. Thanks for all the love that you guys are giving my show. I really appreciate it, even though we haven't come out with a podcast in a long time. But I just dropped episode 33 2 days ago, so I just wanted to tell you guys. Thank you, and give you guys a quote about appraising more shows and, well, no, show notes as well. And it's good to have a community effort, and yeah, so enjoy your guys' show, and look forward to listening as always. Yeah, Corey, you suck. All right, later, man. Peace.
Thanks, Nick Stevens.
Yeah. And it really stuck because I just got the transcript and I thought, oh, we got a voicemail from a new listener that I've never heard of.
Nick Steven
guy. I didn't you know, just put two and two together that, you know, they just couldn't understand big
and
when I listened to it.
I'm pretty sure when he said Corey, Corey, you suck.
Probably.
So
pretty much.
But yeah, that's.
Wait, why do I suck this time?
Because you.
He didn't specify.
He's just telling you to.
I
fuck
think just
off.
In general.
Yeah, you suck. Yeah.
Fair enough.
At least he just said you suck, and he didn't say what you sucked.
So yeah, we.
Just a general suckage.
Could have been lemons. Everybody likes to suck on a good lemon every now and then, right?
I prefer limes.
You are also silly, Goose.
I prefer neither.
So, your wife was asking me for my help the other night. She needs to know about D&D. I guess she's going to be working on a play called She Kills Monsters. And she was telling me about it. And I looked that play up and actually watched a high school version of it on YouTube. And I have to say, I was very impressed with that. I really enjoyed that quite a bit. I even teared up a little bit, honestly, because I thought it was a very good story.
I haven't read it yet, so I'll read it before we start the set and everything. But
yeah, so
she has some pretty ambitious things. She wants me to build a dragon of some sort.
Well, you need a five-headed dragon, and you need the right colored heads because it's Tiamat. So it's
okay,
blue, red, green, black, and white headed dragon. It's a female.
I'm
dragon.
I'm not gonna.
It's a mother of all dragons, so, you know.
I'm not going to remember this, but...
That was some of the stuff I was pretty impressed with, that they actually used Dungeons & Dragons specifically. You know, they actually used that name. I was like, wow, is this... You know, I was impressed with that. They used... The only thing that really annoyed me is the Paladin cast Magic Missile, and that pissed me off. I was like, Paladins don't cast that! unless they have wizard... cross-classing, but she didn't, because she said she was a level 20th paladin. She didn't say level 20th paladin, level 1 wizard. So
maybe she misspoke.
Maybe this place sucked. But but honestly, I was pretty impressed with the play, and I liked the story, and I would like to see that turned into a movie. I think that would be a very interesting movie as well, and it really highlights a lot of going to school in the 90s, because I think it actually, the play takes place in like 95, which is actually the year I graduated, and it kind of reminded me of that time period, how we thought about things and such. And
it'll be a Netflix series from the makers of 13 Reasons Why.
but it does focus a lot on being in that age, and being part of the lesbian community as well. So I thought that was really handled quite well. So
yeah, she's got this new job. She starts next year, and she's able to do plays that are a little bit more controversial, which I don't know if there's really much into this, but I guess there's.
Well, because I talked to her about that. You got, or maybe it was you and her at the same time, but I asked her, I said, you pick the plays that you get, and I guess before there's a council that picked them?
Yeah, at her current job, yeah. she had to go through a chain of people, and they would either approve it or deny it, mm-hmm. and now she's got full reign of it.
Well, that's pretty good then. So I'm happy with the play she picked, because it's a very interesting play, and I mean, like I said, I sat down and it was an hour and like 15 minutes long, and I sat there one night and watched the entire thing. So, because I was intrigued about what was going on. So if you guys, I don't know what school did it or not, but I just put in She Kills Monsters, and yeah, I liked how it handled the source material and the subject matter. So highly recommended. Like to see it. So now I guess we got to add plays to this thing down here, movies, television, books and comics, plays. So
yeah, we just saw a compilation of a bunch of high school plays last night or night before. Wichita does this thing. It's called the Jester Awards, and Amanda was nominated for Best Scenic Design.
Oh, awesome.
And she actually won that category. It's essentially like the Tonys, but
wait,
for
so
high
technically
schools.
Didn't you win that? Because don't you make a lot of her sets?
She designs it. I build it. So, no, she actually, I don't really do anything with the musicals. So that was pretty much all her.
Cause you hate musicals.
No.
I don't remember what it was the other day. I was looking on Facebook and you were listening to some soundtrack for some musical or something, or I don't remember what it was. And I was like, yeah, that's Corey. I hate musicals. Porter.
Yeah, probably.
I don't even know what it was. That would I was be. Like, yep. Mm-hmm.
The Moana soundtrack.
No, it wasn't even that. It was like a real musical, not a Disney cartoon musical. But anyway, yeah. So Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Volume 2. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Volume 2. Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2 was really excellent. I enjoyed it. My mom enjoyed it. For Mother's Day, I got her a Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirt at Walmart, because that's the one she wanted. We had seen it at our Walmart, and they didn't have it in our sizes, so I found one for her, and I bought it for her. And they also had a cool-looking, like, Doctor Who shirt there as well, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, Mother's Day's done, $15. But then I also bought her some trellis for her roses. Trellis? Is that word? I can't remember that word, if it's trellis. I want to call them telluses. I don't know. But
I think trellis is right.
I think trellis is right, too.
I don't know flowers.
Well, it's not a flower. It's a thing that holds the flowers up.
Well, that's part of flower business.
So, anyway, what's anybody else got? Anything?
Any of you watch American Gods?
No, I don't have stars.
I don't either.
Have you read the book?
I tried reading that book and could not get into it.
Okay, because I'm just wondering, I was hoping that maybe you read it so you could tell me if the book starts out as confusing as fuck as the series. Because two episodes in, visually, it's amazing. And so, I love that guy from Deadwood. But compared to even like the crazy stuff like Legion or Dirk Gently, this is just like a fucking, I don't know, okay, here's this guy who's the butcher or whatever, who like just kills cows in an open field. Now he comes out of this magic door, and now he's going to play checkers with a black guy, and they put his life on the line, and he lost. So he should die, and this show should just be over, right? Okay, whatever. I don't give a shit, because I don't know what the fuck's going on. Just a bunch of people everywhere.
I honestly think that is how the book starts.
I'm hoping that it clears some of this shit up.
But I don't remember. It's been for some reason I remember them getting in a limousine or something at one point and having a discussion.
Okay, that happens in the show, but I don't know.
Okay, so I'm not that happens in the book. I don't. So I'm not imagining that. All right, like that was like
Ian
I feel
McShane.
Like that's the first scene of the movie
or the
book.
Swear,
I love. I didn't know he was in it. I'm going to have to watch it just because he's in it.
It's great when he's on screen because it's just fun to watch him act. He's just got
he's
aura
amazing.
About him.
Everything.
But, I mean, I just don't fucking get what the shit is going on. And it sucks because I really like Brian Fuller. I love most of what he's done.
Yeah.
But I just, like, two episodes in, I'm like, and it's not like a good, oh, I wanted to know more. It's just like, fucking, what the shit is this? Because, like, with Legion, that starts out with plenty of, like, what the shit is going on, but I want to know more. And I'm enjoying even the vagueness of it all and the confusion, but this is just like, what?
Oh, you guys want to hear something kind of funny?
Yes, Corey, but it's coming from you, so it's probably not.
I found out, it's kind of funny to me, but it might not be to everybody else, but I found out I have an official IMDb page.
I don't think that's funny because it's not actually you.
It is me.
Okay.
One of my good friends from high school is in film production, and he did a movie while we were in high school, and I was in it. And for whatever reason, that's on IMDb now.
Well, I'm going to file a complaint with IMDb to get you removed.
So it's actually really you. I think, did you actually post it in our chat?
I posted on Facebook when I found out about it. But there's another movie on there that I definitely was not part of.
Oh.
That has me tagged in it. There's two movies, Writer's Block and Beyond, which is what I was
in. K-911?
Yeah, that's not me. I don't know.
That's
what that
why
is.
I thought it was a joke, because K-911, I was like, I know Corey wasn't in that. So that kind of took away all of it for me, because I was like, oh.
And yeah, I went to go try and edit it, but you have a pro account to edit anything on IMDb.
Writer's Block and Beyond, Spy, Inmate. So you were both.
Yeah, I had two parts in that. I still have that on DVD somewhere.
Oh, it actually made it to DVD, huh?
Well, I mean, it was in our high school film festival.
Corey Porter's an actor known for K-911 and Writer's Block. See full bio. That's it, Corey? There's nothing else there?
Yep. Cool. I was amused when I found that out.
But maybe this is for the Corey Porter who was in K-911, and they just assumed. So maybe it's that. So maybe that Corey Porter's like, oh my god, I didn't know I had an IMDb page.
Maybe.
Or what's this writer's block thing that I'm definitely not in?
The K-911 seems a little bit more official than right,
because it has a poster,
yeah,
and screens, and a. Yeah.
Corey Porter was the dog's name, A911.
Falcone is a weird name for a dog.
I don't know.
The dog is probably Diego.
Where's
since
Diego
that's also the name
dog?
Of the quote-unquote
Is it a
actor.
Show? It's just the complete first season.
Oh, wow, really? No. K-911 is a 1 hour and 21-minute movie, according to
also,
this.
Also, the actor Diego... Originally born in Mexico, Diego now lives in San Fernando Valley, the porn industry capital of the world. He first gained prominence in the entertainment industry as a janitor for Vivid Entertainment Inc. So this is definitely not the dog, Diego, who has no last name. He's just Diego, and playing Diego in K-911. But, yeah, he was discovered by none other than Jenna Jameson. He's only been in this one thing, but he has quite the bio. Jesus Christ.
Somebody was pretty impressed with themselves.
Yeah. Mini biography by Anonymous. I think it was by Diego.
So, anyway, there's that.
Yep.
I love his bio. He has been a towel boy locker room attendant for the Los Angeles Sparks of the WNBA and has done multiple fitness workout videos with the likes of Gillard, Jana Klauskova, Billy Blanks, Corey Everson, most recently
Jillian Michaels and Billy Blanks. I've heard of those people.
Diego should get a fucking last name.
No.
Nickname.
No,
Diggy
Diego
Chunks.
Is his name. First no. And last name.
Maybe his nickname is his real name, Diggy Chunks.
This is IMDb the podcast.
He loves to travel, but hates to run. But he loves exercise, apparently, because he's been in exercise videos.
This?
Loves the sun, but hates to swim. Loves to cuddle and never gets embarrassed by public displays of affection. Ooh, Diego, you dog, but not really the dog in that movie. This is all on IMDb. He's got three paragraphs in his bio. I love Diego. I'm a best friend.
You need to find this guy now.
I need to edit his biography.
Do you
have... Best friends with Mark Ignez, creator of Pixelated Sausage. I love this guy.
Oh, apparently K-9-1 was a web series that they turned into a feature film. I thought it was just a continuation of the K-9 story from with
Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi and Jerry Lee. So I didn't.
I'm trying to see if my buddy had anything to do with it. It doesn't look like
maybe
it.
Your
my mom used to be really good friends with Jim Belushi's sister, who was a psychic.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did. And your picture's like. Like on the wall as a criminal from the old TV show, from the old movie. He's got your inmate picture up on a wall somewhere.
In a really cheesy inmate black and white striped outfit.
I think we figured it out.
I don't see. Like,
is your friend Keaton Mock?
Yeah. Yeah. I went to high school with him. He's worked on a ton of stuff.
I see K-11 missing the 9. He's a digital intermediate assistant on K-11.
He also worked on Forward Unto Dawn.
Oh. Huh. Damn. I bet right now, fucking... God damn. My brain just exploded. Anyway. Rich. Rich, that's his name, Rich. The guy that's not here today. Rich would be creaming his pants if he knew that you knew somebody that worked on Forward Unto Dawn. Anybody? No.
All digital right. Intermediate artist is his claim to fame.
All right, so we should probably get plugs in here. Apparently Mark wants to plug Diego.
I want to know exactly what this guy does on these pictures, because he's worked on some pretty good stuff. Most recently, Hell or High Water, which was amazing.
I'll shoot him a message later today, and I'll let you know.
Maybe he'll put you in one of his movies, Mark. I mean, he put Corey.
He's got some good stuff in there.
He put Corey in a movie, so you know.
And a wide variety.
Either that, or he just has an IMDb account, and he's like, "I got to get famous. I'm going to put my name in all these cool movies." All right, Diggy Chunks, what's going on?
His dick.
All right, we should probably get going.
I just realized being a janitor with Vivid, that can't be fun.
That's a lot of jizz mopping.
Mm-hmm.
But they make good money, jizz moppers. That's what I hear.
Think maybe you should change.
No, careers. I'm good. I'm good.
Maybe you'll be.
I keep thinking about
light, and they'll.
I keep thinking about going to school to become a pharmacy tech, though. So you know,
there's good money in that.
There actually is. I mean, not bad. And you don't need that much schooling, honestly. You just got to know math. So I probably need to.
Why don't you just cook meth? I hear that's good business.
Cause that's dangerous.
Get an RV.
Also, guys, I turn 40 tomorrow.
Holy cow.
Sucks to be you.
I know. It sucks.
Sucks to be all of us.
I know. Second-rate podcast, or even Diggy Chunks, is more popular than we are.
Yeah.
Has an even better IMDb page than Corey, who was in a fantastic movie. All right. Plugs. Mark. We want to plug.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Steam, all the usual places at PX Sausage. PSN, I'm TheKush3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the podcast I do, Pixelated Sausage Podcast, the art I do, which you can see over at pxsart.com. And if you like all the crap that we do over on the site, you can go over to patreon.com/PXS.
Yeah. All right. You didn't do Sports Car Unleashed.
I thought I'd leave it to you. You felt so bad for leaving Rich out.
Also, Sports Car Unleashed with Rich. and other people. SportsCarUnleashed.com. It's about racing cars. Sean, you shouldn't listen if you don't like racing cars.
And also check out Nick Stevens' podcast.
Yeah.
The O-N-D-O-E-D-O.
That hasn't had a show in a month, but they did 33 just a few days ago.
Yeah, it came out just 2 days ago, plus a month.
So, anyway, yeah. Corey, what do you want to plug?
Normal stuff. You know, follow me on Wolfnut pretty much everywhere. Twitter, Xbox Live, Facebook. Think Facebook.
All right. Fantastic. Go see Guardians of the Galaxy. My name's Henderson Mann. You can follow me on all those places. Also, Pixelated Paranormal podcast I do sometimes with Sean and Preston. And we are not doing a show this week, but we have a show to put up because they did an interview with a guy for WitchCon, and he talked about vampires. So that's going to be our show this week because we couldn't find shit to talk about.
Sounds like it's going to suck.
That guy probably started a movie with Diggy Chunks. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
that Diggy Chunk loves sucking.
Well, he did work for Vivid as a jizz mopper, so.
Yep.
And didn't say what he mopped it with. Yeah, God, I was going there, and you beat me to it. So.
Anyway. We're going to somehow find out who this guy really is and get in contact with him just because of this stupid bit.
He's replacing Rich.
He might be a big dude. He might beat the shit out of us. I'm going to open the door one day and get the shit beat out of me because.
I'm not scared of him. Come at me, bro.
That's Mark. That's Mark. He lives in Chicago. Yeah. Just remember that.
I live in Chicago. I live on the
Chicago's
northwest side.
Town. It should be pretty easy to find him.
Yep. Totally.
I live in Norwood Park.
I don't even know if that's true or not. I know your address, but I don't know if that's Norwood Park.
It is.
Okay. Anyway, that's it for the show. We went down.
I live by the Harlem and Irving Mall. Piece of shit mall.
We went down a really dark, deep hole there when Corey told us about his IMD page. None of us came out of that unscathed.
Eh, hopefully it'll be entertaining to listen to.
Diggy has seen his fair share of deep, dark holes.
Okay.
All right. We're out of here. Goodbye.
Make your butt noise.
That's a deep, dark hole.
Came out of one.